In this episode, we get the chance to chat with Ben Reinberg of Alliance CGC, a commercial real estate company. Ben is clearly a humble guy. I tried over and over to pull out more and more of his accomplishments. And I think, he's so humble and just wants to give back. And he's not all about bragging. So that's clear. But the fact is, you should listen to this guy. He's been able to build a $500 million real estate portfolio in a lot of different real estate niches. Specifically, we talk a lot about the medical office space in commercial real estate, but also about his book that's coming out. And as the time that this airs, as of the airing of this show, his book will be just about out, if not already released. I love the focus in this discussion on inner work and how Ben opens up about doing therapy and meditation and reflection many years ago, before it was considered cool, to be honest with you. He's been at this commercial real estate game for over 30 years. I think he's 55 years old and has just built a massive real estate empire. But so much of this discussion focuses on the inner work and the inner person and listening and empathy and the importance of people and relationships. He gives a really fascinating way that his company has approached navigating and managing and working with its employees. I think he has about 75 employees currently, but just the focus on people and understanding those people's strengths and working with his employees and viewing them as more than just a number. I really enjoy that aspect of this conversation. Another key nugget, and then I'll let you listen for yourself, was the focus that we had on pivoting, how to know when to pivot, whether to focus more on external market conditions, whether to focus more on your internal, how you're feeling about what you're doing, and how to actually to pivot when you decide it's time to pivot in your real estate career, in your entrepreneurial ventures, or in your life in general. So this is definitely one I'm going to listen to for sure. There's a ton of awesome practical knowledge as well as inspiration. I hope you enjoy it.
From Adversity to Abundance, hosted by entrepreneur and seasoned real estate investor Jamie Bateman, is the ultimate guide for active and passive investors seeking clarity, mental fitness, and the confidence to make inspired decisions in the world of real estate. With a decade plus of investing experience across various niches and a background as a combat veteran, former Army officer, and multi-million dollar mortgage note company owner, Jamie brings a wealth of knowledge and inspiring stories to each episode. Through weekly episodes featuring insightful interviews with industry leaders and solo explorations of mindset and strategy, listeners will uncover actionable advice and tips to overcome challenges and build lasting financial success. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting, From Adversity to Abundance is your roadmap to turning obstacles into opportunities and achieving financial freedom.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the From Adversity to Abundance podcast. I am your host, Jamie Bateman, and I'm pumped today to have with us Ben Reinberg. Ben is the founder and CEO of Alliance CGC. Ben, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Jamie. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I look forward to having a great conversation and adding a lot of knowledge to your audience.
Yeah, I know that's going to happen for sure. You've been in the real estate investing game for 30 plus years, and you've seen a lot of ups and downs. And I know from both a professional standpoint and a personal standpoint, you've experienced a lot of different, market conditions, market cycles, and personal adversity and personal abundance. Before we jump back into your backstory, talk to the listener for a minute about the abundance that you're living in now and what you have going on today. Who are you today and what are you up to?
Well, when I started back in my early 20s, I wasn't the same man I am now. And so I want everyone to know that I evolve just like you evolve. If you're younger and you're listening to it, you're going to evolve. Even if you're my age or a little bit younger, you always evolve. The work doesn't stop. And I try to tell that to people. It's like, even though I've been wildly successful, the work doesn't stop. I continue with personal development, I work on myself, my communication. I work on my writing. Communication equals wealth. I say that frequently. Mm-hmm. It's because it's something I constantly work on. Is mm-hmm. And also I work on my emotions, managing them. Mm-hmm. And I do all those different things on top of, you know, developing my continued expertise in commercial real estate technology, you yeah. name it, as our industry and business grows in commercial real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I started my career, I started with a blue suit and shoe leather shoes, and raising equity and finding deals was a local and regional business in commercial real estate. There wasn't this thing called the internet. We all use yeah. microfiche and encyclopedias and shaking people's hands and doing deals on the back of a napkin, and your word was your bond. And that's how it worked when I was younger. And I really yeah. miss those days and enjoyed that side of the business. It's mm-hmm. our business is a really relationship driven business, sure. which I love about it. And it gives me an advantage because, Jamie, I like to pick up the phone, and a lot yeah. of people in these days, I like to text and email. And I think that's wonderful, but I'm more of a phone person when people get to know me. And with sure. that being said, I was able to buy assets, raise equity, create mm-hmm. success at a very young age with mm-hmm. a lot of hard work and shoe leather and persistence and,
yeah.
and resilience. Now, not everything goes as planned.
Yeah.
Okay. I've built millions of square feet of office industrial. 20 years ago on my 3-decade career, I pivoted into medical office, one of the leaders in medical office. And so I'm good at pivoting and listening to the market, listening to our investors, and understanding what the character of capital in the marketplace needs. And
okay.
So, I've changed. Yeah. I've changed. And how I build abundance is I work on myself. Mm-hmm. I'm vulnerable. I yeah. have mentors and coaches just like everyone else for different aspects of my life.
Right.
I'm an avid reader. I'm an avid listener. I listen to people, whatever age is. And one sure. of the tricks I have to create abundance, Jamie, is I seek the truth in what other people are saying. Hmm. And so when someone's talking and maybe I have an opinion on a deal or a situation,
yeah. Yeah.
or an industry or a niche,
sure.
and someone else has a wildly or vastly different opinion, I listen to it and I seek the truth. And a lot of it goes to that abundance is really understanding that we all come from a different focal point, a different sure. lens, different background. We have different relationships, different knowledge, different right. educational throughout
yeah.
our life.
No, I love that. I've heard I think it's from one of the Greek philosophers. I'm not sure who it was, but talking about how every man is my superior in some way, right? So you can absolutely learn from everyone. And I like how you've framed it in seeking the truth from in every conversation, every person you're listening to. So before we get back into your backstory, though, can you get a little more specific with?
Yeah, I will definitely. So how I create abundance.
Yeah.
And what great timing is my new book's coming out, because it's right. all about how to create a hard asset empire. And the book, you know, it's interesting. Someone asked me, why do you need to write a book? Why write the book?
Mm-hmm.
And what was going on for years, and I'm not talking about years, I'm talking about decades. I kept hearing people wanted me to look at their investment portfolio, or they're looking at a real estate deal. Can you help me? Give me some advice. I was giving a lot of gratuitous advice to help people.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also a lot of people of, how do I get into real estate? How do I invest in real estate? How do I invest in Alliance and what you do passively, which a lot of people want to do?
Yeah.
And I started looking at it. I said, you know, a lot of people don't know how to generate wealth, and it's not really taught in the world.
Sure.
And even a lot of people don't know how to invest in medical office, some of the things we do. And even doctors, we started talking to. So I started seeing this, and I said, well, how can I create abundance? Can I create opportunities? And a year ago, we said, well, we're going to write this book, and it's going to be called Hard Assets and Hard Money for Hard Times. That way you can use it anytime, any point in the world, as well as any economic cycle, whether there's uncertainty in the world like we have right now. We talk about in the book, you know, why are you able to utilize it throughout the test of time? And it's a crisis ready strategy that we include in the book. It's a personalized roadmap I put in the book. I make it real simple. So it could be a 10-year-old all the way up to adult, mm-hmm. no matter what income class you're at, whether you're broke to being a billionaire, everyone's going to use this. And I create a blueprint within the book from my proven tactics of being in the business and being in business for decades of experience. But I went outside my experience, Jamie, and I said, you know okay. what? I'm going to ask billionaires and colleagues of mine and other associates of what is their opinion of the blueprint? What am I missing? What can we enhance? And we did. And then we put it on steroids. And it's really been a labor of love for me because to build abundance for your audience,
said,
I want to put together something that they can build and feel comfortable building and can generate, retain, defend, and compound their wealth. That's the bottom line with the book. And that's how you're going to build abundance.
Yeah.
Now, I did all this and I'm sharing it with everyone because I want you to build abundance and have that comfort level that you can get to.
Well, I can tell, I can tell you're a humble guy and a practical guy and wanting to give back in practical ways so that our listener has an action step and a blueprint, like you've said. And we are all about adding practical value. And we want our listeners to be able to understand different asset classes and different strategies within real estate, whether commercial or residential, because there are so many different ways to make money in real estate. Why should I'm going to pull it out of you. What are a couple, a few accomplishments? Why should the listener buy your book? Not about what's in the book, but why should they listen to you and go buy your book?
Well, the one thing about it is it's visually engaging and it's actionable.
Mm-hmm. Like,
I just didn't write a book to tell my story.
Sure.
Okay.
Right.
That would be the ego side of me.
Right.
I did it so it's actionable for the readers to have. And it's accessible to all.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's one of these true companion guides when you read it and you see how actionable it is that you'll put it on your bookshelf. 6 months will go on. You'll review your blueprint, just like I do.
Yeah.
And say, okay, what are my capstones? What are my keystones? It's like building a fortress. That's how I show it and represent it.
Nice.
It's a blueprint, like in commercial real estate.
Sure.
And I show it and I say, okay, what are your walls, your foundation? What's inside the castle? What's inside the building you're building? And it's going to change. And it changes over time. You age, risk thresholds change as well. And so it's one of those books. It's going to be a true companion guide. You'll be able to use it forever through a test
Love
of time.
That.
So the reason why you need this book, if you're out there listening, is it's a crisis ready strategy. And I did that on purpose because there's a lot of different economic downturns I've been through. We have heavy inflation going on right now. You see it. We've been through bank collapses, you and I, Jamie. We've seen that.
Yeah.
We've been through market crashes. Okay. We've seen 07, 08, 09.
Right.
In the early 90s. We've seen all these different types of recession, deep recession. We saw COVID.
Right.
And it's one of these books that helps you mitigate all these twists and turns you're going to see in the economy of life. It also is that personal roadmap.
Okay. Yeah.
So the blueprint is really, it's not a theory. It's proven tactics with me and folks
that so
you can
let's,
do step by step to really tailor your goals and risk tolerance, et cetera.
Yeah. We obviously, with your long career in real estate with lots of ups and downs, we're not going to cover all of your wins and all of your losses, of course. And I love that we're able to, pull both on this episode, during this episode, as well as from the book, pull from your experience and learn from your lessons so that we can avoid different pitfalls, et cetera. Let's dive in. It's From Adversity to Abundance. You've already alluded to the fact that we're never done. You haven't arrived. Ben Rydenberg has not arrived. You're always working on yourself. You talked a lot about that. You're still a work in progress, just like the rest of us. However, I think you've probably improved in a lot of ways and you're now living in an abundance mindset and abundance state versus maybe back when you were experiencing more financial adversity in particular. So if you could pick one time, whether it's 07, 08, 09 or a different time where this really pertains to your story personally and how you were impacted, maybe others around you were impacted. So not so much just from a professional standpoint, but personally, how did you navigate specific adversity in your past?
Well, I think it's when I started was something that really comes to my mind. I was a CPA, wasn't happy. I'm an entrepreneur. And there's a lot of lessons in entrepreneurship and real estate that are different. And when I was younger and I was on audit for a billionaire for a CPA firm I was working for before I got into commercial real estate, I've always been a principal in commercial real estate, never a broker. I went right into the deep water. And the adversity where it started was the billionaire said to me, he's like, you're not much of an accountant. need to be doing something else. I was 22 years old at the time. I was young. I was green. I was naive. And I had to figure out life. I didn't come from money. And I started looking at it, and the word entrepreneur wasn't really prevalent when I was younger.
Right,
so,
right. Now it's a sexy buzzword,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So and then I started looking at it when I was younger, and I've been through this recently. I said, well, why entrepreneurship and real estate similar? Because I'm both. We're very entrepreneurial. And it, and when I was younger, I had to realize, like, know what I stand for. I had to realize, know what I stand for and be an example of it. That was the first thing I realized. And then I also realized I got to build a foundation, which is part of my book. And now I got to, build a team of A players, which is what I did. And then the other key, how I got through adversity was, is to execute and deliver on what I'm going to say and go out there and do it. And your word means something. And then also, just like I got into medical office, which was another adversity. I mean, I could list a thousand of them. I was going to buy skyscrapers. I thought I was going to be the next Sam Zell coming from Chicago. That's where my career was headed. And then all of a sudden the internet kicked in, the marketplace changed. And I realized, okay, you know what? Well, the human body is never going out of style. If we're going to stay in office sector, let's get into medical office. And I doubled down and became an expert. And that was because of adversity, because the market changed on me for office space. And I said, you know, TIs are increasing, leasing commissions are increasing, and the margins are thinning.
Sure.
So it was huge adversity. And so I was able to measure often and pivot, which is one of the things you have to do as an entrepreneur, and you have to do in real estate always. And lastly, like we talked about, is I am always learning and growing. I am always growing as a person. And to work at my company Alliance, you have to be growth minded because we're constantly evolving and changing, especially with AI and technology. So with people out there listening to adversity, is you're always going to be faced with some sort of challenge, and your perception is going to think maybe it's worse than it is. But, you know, I say tough times don't last, tough people do. And someone told me a long time ago, and this is one of the best things they've ever said to me, was, this shall pass.
Yeah.
If you're live right now, if you're listening to this and there's adversity or a challenge going on in your life, keep pushing forward, keep being persistent, resilient, you know, make those extra calls, whether you're looking for a job to you're in a career in real estate and you're calling people, keep calling, keep pushing forward. And I'm no different either. I mean, every day I go through ups and downs.
Yeah.
And I pull out warrior persona within myself.
I love that.
Say, come on, Ben, we got to go. We got to go. And, so, and don't take things for granted. It's really important.
That's really good. So, but so as when you were 22, did you just, you know, he said you're the billionaire said you're not much of an accountant. Did you throw in the towel as an accountant the next day? Did you transition over a period of time? How did that transition from, I guess I'm assuming W-2 CPA to entrepreneur and real estate investor? How did that happen?
Well, I'll tell you, Jamie, it's interesting. I said to myself, I said, I need to change. I need to do something different. Not coming from money. No one's going to hand me to build the empire. I got to do it myself. And I'm going to do whatever it takes, work 24/7. And I was watching an infomercial, and one of my dear friends, and she actually wrote the foreword of my book, which is interesting because see how life comes around. Her name's Sharon Lecter.
Okay. Yeah.
Sharon's a good friend and someone that I admire dearly and love her to death. And she co-authored Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I was 22. I read that book. I at the time, you couldn't order it on the internet. It was an infomercial. So I ordered it like 10 days later, the book came and finally came in the mail. And read it. I read it once. And then I took a day off from the accounting firm because I was so enamored with it and wanted to really develop a business plan in my mind on paper. I read it again. And I said, I go, this is who I want to become. This is what I can do. I know I can do this. And so I just went for it. And my first deal, I did a 95,000 square foot industrial building in the suburbs of Chicago.
Wow.
And you want to talk about adversity? I had to negotiate a credit for a roof and some HVAC with two Titans, some of the largest home builders in the United States at the time. They were probably 20 or 30 years older than me. Had to step in and negotiate that, which I successfully did. Close the deal. You want to add more to adversity? First week, I lose 45% of the income in the building. Value drops like a rock. I have investors. I've raised millions of dollars from
four. Was that what, like, how many tenants was that that left?
Or it was a two tenant deal.
Okay.
And one of the tenants leaves in the industrial building.
Wow.
I end up backfilling it with two additional tenants. I take a two tenant building, make it a three tenant building, sell it for about a 3x multiple. Great return.
Wow.
About 3.5, 4 years later. And that's what launched me. So the bottom line is, I don't believe in the word can't, won't, shouldn't. I don't believe in the word contractions. I must have missed that when I was in grade school. That lesson, because it's one thing that I don't believe in, because when adversity stares you in the face, and it goes on every day in commercial real estate, there's always something. We have so many properties around the country. There's something that's going to happen every day. And how do you deal with it? How do you manage your emotions? And so when we talk about hard assets and hard times for hard money, we talk about your mindset. We talk about, because every day I show up to work, okay? And I am a workaholic. I'm a very hard worker, strong worker. It hasn't left me yet. Mm-hmm. And so with that in mind, I know you have to keep pushing forward. So when something happens, adversity, and what makes a great leader for everyone out there listening, if you're going to have your own company or you're going to be on a leadership team in a company, real estate or whatever industry, is how you manage your emotions is everything, because it comes off you to other people. And it also shows you strength in tough times, in battle. And so my advice to everyone is really learn how to be aware of your emotions, your feelings, how you're feeling at a certain time, and identify it and own it. And just say, you know, it's okay. And this shall pass. Things will happen. It shall pass. And so,
I love that.
And so it's really, the book is something special to me, because not only am I teaching people how to build a hard asset empire, but I'm also showing how to emotionally deal with it as you grow.
No, that's really good. And entrepreneurship, whether in real estate or not, is a, I mean, that's all you're doing all day long, is handling problems and challenges managing your emotions. You've mentioned it more than once. How have you been able to do that? Not necessarily just in the moment, but how have you been able to build up the skill set to manage your emotions when inevitably they come and go? Do you use therapy or breath work, or what do you do?
Let's give some context. I mean, when I was younger and I was born in 1970, and you know, no one taught this stuff. They didn't teach it in school. And so I latched on to some good mentors and some people that were icons in my business. And I got into meditation.
Okay.
And I started meditating. I started journaling, and I started realizing where I was going wrong. You know, when I was in my 20s, I was like, you know, I didn't trust anyone, and I felt the world was against me, and I worked hard, and I said, I'm just going to conquer, and that's it. And the empathy was gone at that point. And I learned, and I realized that I had to start loving myself. I had to start changing, and I had to start communicating better and not getting upset over the little things. And so I started meditating years ago and started working on myself and personal development and going through my past and seeing what my root experiences were. And I worked on it, and I went some dark times and dark days to be honest with myself and see what I've gone through and realize where my challenges are. And that's what started to create abundance, is the moment I owned who I was. And I knew, Jamie, that if I could show up as the best version of myself and work on myself, I'll attract the people I want in my life.
Yeah. I love that.
And that's what happened.
Yeah. And the truth is, you really can't control the outcome of any commercial real estate deal or anything else, whether it's in real estate or not. You can't control any real circumstances outside of yourself, but it is very liberating to realize you actually do have quite a bit of control of your inner world and your inner game. And, you know, it's never perfect, of course, but I appreciate you sharing and being vulnerable like that, because we, you know, a commercial real estate titan 20, 30 years ago typically wouldn't be talking like this, right?
Well, and you know what's interesting about this conversation, I want everyone to hear this too, is like, you know, people see how you conduct yourself when you're leading. And so managing emotions, everything. But what's interesting about my progress is that I wasn't always like this. I had to You know, and you also have to realize 3 years ago, I didn't have a personal brand. Mm. Like my leadership team said, you know, it's time to build a personal brand. I said, what's that? And I'm on LinkedIn. Jeff Weiner's from Chicago. And I said, well, he's got a great platform. I'm going to ride that one. And it's been mm-hmm. great ever since. But, mm-hmm. you know, I was on Instagram or Facebook or TikTok or YouTube, and I got yeah. on. And it's been great because it's allowed me to improve my communication skills. Mm-hmm. So you never stop learning. You never stop growing. But
sure.
everyone out there listening is, if you ask yourself, would you rather show up to the office or in life or on a date or with your significant other or your kids, if you have kids out there, mm-hmm. like I do, would you rather show up and be present and be happy mm-hmm. or get frustrated because maybe a deal didn't work out? Maybe you had a bad day. Maybe an investor got pissy with you. Maybe right. you had a bad podcast with someone.
Right, right.
Whatever it is, whatever yeah. it is in life, life happens. But you know what? Everyone goes through situations, and you never know what the man and woman sitting across from you, the mm-hmm. pain they're going through.
Sure.
And so it goes back to when you can seek the truth and what other people
yeah, are yeah. seeing.
It has Love a powerful that. Impact.
Yeah. So before we get to some of the questions I've got here prepared, you mentioned a few times about pivoting, and I know you've seen a lot of market cycles, ups and downs, and just, you know, changes in different economic conditions, et cetera. How does, say, a real estate investor, and there's no one size fits all answer, okay? We know that. But how does a real estate investor know when to just grind it out and stay focused and continue on the exact same path he or she has set themselves on? Or how do they know when to pivot, and how do they pivot? Is it a 180, or do you just kind of tweak things, or how do you approach that from a mental standpoint?
Sure. Well, one thing that's an important lesson I learned decades ago is you get rewarded for focus.
Mm.
That's the bottom line in this mm-hmm. conversation that mm-hmm. with your question is that
yeah.
if you stay focused and you're resilient and persistent, you will accomplish what you want in that certain niche. So if you're in a certain niche, and when I was getting started in medical office, you know, they were saying that, you know, Obamacare and Obama was going to change medical and mm-hmm. medical office was going to be greatly impacted. And I said, well, the human body is not going to last out. And with all us having families and kids and parents mm-hmm. and everything else,
yeah,
people have to go to the doctor. And that was a pivot I made. And so what I did was, for me to pivot, is I do enough homework. I talk to enough people. I understand marketplace, and I pivot into a niche. Just like we did a year ago, I was in Japan on vacation, and I took a step back and I said, what's going on in multifamily? There's mm-hmm. billions of dollars of loans coming due. Mm-hmm. I have colleagues of mine that have been wildly successful. I have other people I've seen come into the business where they have five-year notes coming due. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be an issue. It's a perfect time for us to get involved. So we opened up a multifamily division in 2024, and we're taking advantage of the marketplace.
Okay.
That was a pivot. We yeah. got into hard money lending because lenders lacked liquidity. So we said, okay, let's pivot into that. So
sure.
I'm a good listener. I listen to markets in order yeah. to pivot. Now, if you're in a niche and you don't like it
yeah.
or you're not comfortable with it, that's a good time to look at pivoting. But find something that makes sense with you. Because a lot of people say to me, Jamie, mm-hmm. like, how do I get into commercial real estate?
Okay. Right.
Obviously, on our website coming out soon, we'll be offering courses where anything in real estate, you'll be able to design your own course. Mm-hmm. You want to learn about leases, you want to learn about industrial leases, you want to learn how to buy multifamily, whatever it is, you'll be able to download it and create your own course.
That's cool.
From us. So it's a really neat thing yeah. that we're doing for the public. But also, as it comes to pivoting, for you out there listening, is that if you're in something you don't like or you're yeah. not comfortable with, there's two things you got to answer. Number one is, do I need to educate myself more on a niche to become more comfortable, which is what I've done on niches.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you surround yourself with? The first thing you want to do before you pivot is look at yourself internally.
Mm.
Is it something that's holding you back with your behavior? Is it a skill set that you're lacking? And so you pivot when the market isn't going to respond to a niche. But in commercial real estate or any type of real estate, it's not going away. People need a house to live or apartment sure. to live. People need industrial. People need medical office. People need self-storage, the hotels, motels, resorts, whatever. The list goes on and on. Right. So pick your niche if you're in real estate that you want to get into, or whatever industry you're in.
Sure.
And see if it's viable. What I like about real estate, especially some of the commercial real estate niches we're in, is they're recession and pandemic type, resilient type real estate. Mm-hmm. And so I don't have to worry as much about pivoting. Now there's niches in your niches out there, so to speak, that you might say, hey, I want to pivot. I'll give you an example for everyone to listen. So when I got started, there's this little company called DaVita. It was one of the largest dialysis companies in the world, in Fresenius. And I went to DaVita's headquarters and they said, okay, here's where you start buying and developing dialysis. Now dialysis is changing because even DaVita now, they're coming out with technology where you can do it in the home. Well, that was a niche. And we said, okay, well, we're not going to buy as much dialysis as we did. We got to be very conscientious. Mm-hmm. So what are we doing? We're getting into orthopedic. We're getting into neurology. So there's different niches we're pivoting into.
Yeah.
And so keep your eyes open. Look at yourself.
Right.
Look at your team of people around you. Look at your inner circle, who you're surrounding yourself with.
Right.
These will give you the signals of how you pivot into something else.
No, that's really good. And I mean, so much there to unpack. A pivot doesn't mean you're pulling a 180 and just quitting and throwing in the towel. You're still using a lot of your skill set and your passion, like you talked about, what do you enjoy doing, you know, what your interests are, and potentially learning a new something ancillary, something just a slight turn, and building off of your successes and failures from the past. It's not necessarily just starting over. So I love that. I've got some more rapid fire questions here, Ben, if you're ready for that.
Go ahead.
What is one thing, this one trips people up a little bit. What is one thing that people misunderstand about you?
Oh God. That's a good question. I think what people misunderstand is that it happened overnight.
Mm.
They see the success.
Yeah.
They see the conversations, they hear the pedigree and the education from the business, and they see the leadership and the mentorship. And people think it's kind of like my new TV show. It's my book. Like everyone said, oh, well, that happened overnight. No, the book took 30 years to and then it took a year to put on paper.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I misunderstood that.
Yeah.
You're
an overnight success.
I'm an overnight success. No, it's a grind. It's a grind.
You mentioned a couple of, key examples of adversity you've dealt with. What's one of your biggest failures, and what did you learn from that experience?
One of my biggest failures was I had a deal where we were buying a 300,000 square foot office campus. And I talk about this in the book, so I might as well talk about it now. And deep recession happened. And we had a large tenant in one of these buildings in this office campus, and they decided not to renew their lease. So we had about a floor and a half floor plate gone out of the building, and it hurt our debt service coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And so loans coming due, it was a bank. Lender didn't want to renew. We ended started to work out, and it worked out okay in the end.
Mm-hmm.
But the lessons that came out of it was, don't sign loans with recourse, which is a huge lesson.
Right.
And
for those unfamiliar, generally workout is just working out new terms. Your loan was coming due, so you had to pay it off. So you were able to work out some kind of new terms, like a loan.
Yeah, or work out extension and say, hey, let us lease up the space, and then we'll refinance, take out, et cetera.
And so then you're referring to the personal guarantee, right?
Personal guarantee on a loan. And so I recommend not guaranteeing loans.
Right.
Well, I'm young and I'm getting started, Ben. How can I do that? Now, you might have to do that for a couple of deals, maybe not.
Right, right.
One of the things I do suggest is don't take on as much leverage. Mm. So, for example, if you're like, well, I'm worried because I got to raise more equity. That's okay. If you have a good deal, it's okay to raise equity and spread the wealth with more investors.
Yeah.
But I will tell you something is that if you get a 50 or a 55% loan-to-value loan for a piece of commercial real estate, it helps you with the ability to hold, which is the key of the business, not about location. And you have the ability to do a non-recourse note and build in more equity. That's okay. And there was, and I had a friend of mine who was over at my house in Chicago when I lived in Chicago. And he said to me, he said, no more. I said, no more. He goes, no more signing on loans anymore. Like you've seen what happens in deep recessions with these lenders. And he was right, because when you sign with recourse, I talk about this in the book, they're not looking to hold you over a cliff. They'll threaten you over a cliff and scare the shit out of you.
Right.
But do that because they want you to stay vested in the deal, which is, and if you have investors, you're going to do it anyways because you're a good fiduciary and you have integrity.
Right. You have aligned interests and
aligned interests. And, and it's one of the selling points I have of why recourse doesn't mean anything, because I have investors and I've been in this business a long time and I'm not taking on a lot of leverage. So
yeah,
lesson learned is don't over leverage your properties. And that was something, because in that deal, not only did we have a 70% LTV loan, we also had a 15 to 20% mezz piece on it. So we were close to 90% leverage going in. So God forbid we have a market turn. Right. It was a huge deal too. Big numbers. And just it was a lesson learned.
Very slim margins there, huh?
Don't ever over leverage your properties or anything in life, whether you're buying a business or whatever.
Got it. If you could go back and give your 18-year-old self some advice, what would that be?
I get asked this question a lot, and, and the answer I don't think ever changes is if I knew what I knew now, I would work on myself. I would talk to that young man and say, get involved in personal development, work on yourself, learn how to manage your emotions, improve your communication, improve your listening skills, and really be present with everyone you're in life. And
love that. If you were given, you personally were given $10 million tomorrow, what would you do with it?
I would invest it. I would invest just like I do now. I would invest it and I would invest in alliances deals, because I see how I see our track record. That's what I would do.
What is a challenge that you are facing with Alliance today?
That eventually I'm going to have to step out of this company and we're grooming someone to do that. And that's a hard pill for me to swallow, because this is my life and it's something that I built.
Right.
And eventually, someone else is going to have to grab the reins. I'm not getting younger and I want to do other things in life. And so for me, that's a challenge, is delegating, giving up the reins of certain decisions, letting other people lead in different parts of my skill set. And so it's been going on a long time and that's always a challenge for me.
Yeah. Makes sense. How about a controversial or unconventional strategy that you have employed in your career in the last 30 plus years?
I think one of the strategies for me was is getting non-recourse financing from banks. I don't know anyone else that does it but me. I'm one of the few. And that was really unconventional. And so I would go and find out who was representing legally these banks, have conversations, and figure out a strategy to get non-recourse. That was very unconventional. It still is. I mean, you know, a lot of lenders are pissed that I do it, but you know what? It's too bad. It's the only way I finance a deal now.
I love that. And you're just persistent and creative and figured out a way to get it done without just accepting the initial terms that were given.
The other thing I'll throw out there that we did unconventionally, especially at Alliance, we got into human behavior for my entire leadership team.
Okay.
We hired a chief people officer, and we do a playbook on every single employee at Alliance. And it's why people want to work here, is because we help our employees and our leadership team design the life that they want to live. So every week they fill out a playbook. We see what they want. It's interesting, because to teach everyone about this is that there's common elements in my company. So everyone that works at Alliance, the common theme, when you look at all the playbooks across the board, they're into health and wellness, just like I am.
Yeah.
Number two is in their careers, they want to be mentored and coach, which what we do and I do a lot of, and we bring in people to help as well. And number three is investments. They want to learn about investments. We're an investment company, so they're in the right place.
Right.
And so what's interesting about the playbook and the software and all the things we use, and a lot of companies are going to start using it, and I sit on the board, I'm a big investor in the software company that we utilize, is because we want people in their genius, their design genius of where they want to go. And so what happens is the company aligns with everyone's values, and then we incorporate rules to support what you want.
That's really cool.
And it
Yeah.
allowed us to get our arms around this remote hybrid workforce.
Oh, right.
How
Yeah.
we deal with it. And
Sure.
it was a way of really catapulting of
Interesting. Yeah, I love that.
building
Really.
that strong community within Alliance.
Right. And it's just investing in people and listening to people. What's the name of that software?
It's called Designing Genius,
Okay.
and there's a lot of large companies that are using it. We use
Okay.
it here at Alliance.
Nice.
It's a wonderful piece of software
Nice.
because it allows you to keep accountable. Now, what's interesting is leaders in their departments will hold their employees accountable. So, for example, if you said to me, Jamie, well, I want to work out 4 days a week and I want to make this amount of calls, let's say you're in acquisitions or whatever,
Yeah.
we're able to find out what the root problem is. So, for example, if you didn't make 250 calls in a week and that was your KPI, we
Yeah.
could look at and find out why. What might be you're not sleeping well at night? And then we go a little bit deeper. What's going on? Well, I'm going on Instagram at 1 in the morning. Well, is that
Right.
productive? Because then you're tired the next day.
Sure.
We talk about where's the blue light by your bed. So we
Right.
go deep with
Okay.
our employees. And
Yeah.
what ends up happening in that example, I had an acquisition guy where he went through that. We tweaked it and I said, get rid of the blue light, get it like 30 yards, 3 feet away from your bed. I don't care if it's another room. I don't even know where he lives, apartment, whatever he lives in.
Yeah.
I said, change that up. And then I said, and then what I suggest is, stop looking at Instagram. And we tweaked a few things. That week, he slept, hit his KPIs. It was just a tweak. Now, that was a road where, if we didn't do that in the past and he's going down a road and he goes 3 or 4 weeks and he doesn't hit
Right.
his KPIs, he's out of the Alliance. He doesn't have a
Right.
job. So the
Wow.
fact that we can identify something
Yeah.
and help someone, even if
Sure.
they have the skill set, it's just a human behavior tweak.
Yeah.
So
That's really
that's the
cool.
difference in what that's very
Yeah,
unconventional.
no, I have not heard that on the show. That's really cool. And I know clearly that your employees are more than just numbers, but approximately how many people work for
We have
Alliance?
over 75 people in the company and work in
Nice.
different capacities around the country.
Gotcha. Yeah, you've hit on so many different really key points. There's been a lot here. For you personally, how has financial abundance made your life better?
It's allowed me to provide a life for my family that I didn't have. That's one thing. I'm still the same person though. Still the kid from Chicago that had a dream and wanted to build wealth and teach people and help people
Yeah.
and have a good heart. And that's what I'm grateful for. There's one stat in Alliance I think is so important is we look at how many kids throughout the last 3 decades have we put through college. That's really important. That's a cool stat. And
Yeah.
so, people say, well, but it's easy for you because you've been successful. Well, yeah, I had to earn it just like you will and everyone else does. But it's allowed me the financial abundance. It's allowed me to help people. It's allowed me to give the time to help people, inspire people.
Yeah.
And that to me is what really it's been about for me.
Yeah, love it. Besides your book, what's one or two other books you could recommend for our listener?
Well, I look in my office and there's a great book. Hold on, I'll pull it up. There's a great book called How to Be the Love You Seek by Dr. Nicole LaPera. And it's a great book that one of my mentors gave me because it talks about not only how do you love yourself, but how do you break cycles and find peace and you heal
Yeah, a
really.
friend of mine just told me about this book a couple
It's
weeks
a
ago.
it's a it's a great book. I've
I've
read it a
not read
couple
it.
times. It's a great book. There's a lot of good books I've read
Yeah, I'm sure. But
recently.
that's a really
But
good one, so.
this one really had an impact on me.
That's
She's
awesome.
wildly talented as Dr. Nicole LaPera.
I'm gonna have to check that out.
I was
Yeah.
blown away. It's a great read. And
Nice.
the book that you kind of have to what's interesting about this book is, you read a business book and you read and you learn and you might forget about tools
Right.
and stuff you learn because you're not applying it all the time.
Right.
What's great about this book is you look at it and you read it, and then you kind of sit back and you start reflecting. And so it takes a while to get through the book because you're
Yeah.
constantly reflecting. And so I think this book, Jamie, probably took me at least 4 or 5 months to read.
Wow,
a lot of reflecting.
Sure.
You know, I'd read like a chapter, or I'd read like half a chapter, and then I reflect, and then the
yeah,
next
yeah.
get into it. It
Right.
took a while. It made
Yeah.
me think, and so I really enjoyed it, and I
Nice.
definitely recommend it. She's a
Nice.
wildly talented woman.
Really good suggestion. Ben, what is one question that you wish I had asked that I have not asked yet?
Why do people invest passively, and why do they invest with Alliance?
There you go. Let's go for it. What's the
All right.
answer?
Well, why people invest passively, and I say this too, is, you know, when I invest in medical properties, or like our medical fund that I invest in, big investor, is, you know, I look at it, and why I invest passively is I want to focus on my expertise if I'm a cardiologist, or if I'm a
Right.
gastroenterologist, or if I'm a lawyer, or if whatever.
Sure.
You get rewarded for focus.
Right.
So when you invest with Alliance and you invest passively, you're
Yeah.
leveraging into 200 plus years of leadership team experience outside me. And so you have a lot of experience. A lot of people have dealt with challenges, a lot of people that'll pay you returns, and it's seamless investing. And so that's why people do it. And the tax benefits are great. It's why I love investing in what we do. And, you know, I say for everyone out there, if you have capital and you're looking to build a hard asset empire, don't do it yourself. Leverage, you know, you want to invest with smart money, which is what Alliance is, but you also want to leverage your time. And a lot of people don't understand time. And we did an exercise in our company that I'll share with everyone, because you could do it for yourself. And this is
Okay.
a great lesson that taught me a lot about myself and taught my employees. So we had everyone in one room years ago, and we talked about time. We said, if 77 at the time was the lifespan, okay, and I'm 55 years old now, so we'll take a live example. You take 77 minus 55, we got 22 years left of my life to live, times 52 weeks. That's the amount of weeks we have. So if we look at that, we're saying, okay, I got 1,144 weeks left of my life. So, Jamie, am I going to be sensitive about the podcasts I go on, the people I surround myself, the restaurants I go to, the trips I take, the
Sure.
conversations I have with my parents, how
Yeah.
often do I go see them? Because if they're older than me, they
Right.
have less time. So now
Sure.
I gotta say, you know what? How much time do I have with them? So when you really understand time,
Yeah.
changes your decision.
Right.
So even if you're in your 20s and you're listening to this, value your time. Every day counts, every week counts. So if I got 1,100 weeks left in my life, that you're going to understand why I'm making certain decisions. It's
Sure.
important to me. So
Yeah.
time
Makes
is
sense.
everything. And so it's a good lesson for everyone to think about,
Yeah,
because
I love that.
we take it for granted.
Absolutely. Where can our listeners find you online, Ben?
Well, there's a couple of places. If you go to benreinberg.com, okay, and you go to benreinberg.com/book, you can pre-order my book and start building your hard asset empire. It will be out in a few weeks as well. Be hard. We'll have a hard copy, paperback. We're working on the audiobook that'll be coming out, and an ebook as well. So we're going to touch
Nice.
all the spectrums for people that you can utilize for the rest of your life. That's one way to find me personally. You can watch my TV show. It's going to be on the Watchy TV network coming out. We're on season two. It's a spin-off of my podcast, Ben Reinberg. I own it. First season was leverage, all different types of leverage. We talk about not just debt, about relationships and everything else. We bring on 13 people from all over the world in studio, or
That's
on
cool.
location. Season two was obsessed. In order to be wildly successful, you have to be obsessed. And so we filmed 13 episodes that will be launching this spring. And you can see some of it on YouTube right now. That's one way to find me. And then also, if you're interested in investing in passively in commercial real estate and great assets, go to alliancecgc.com. That's alliancecgc.com. And those are all the ways.
Fantastic.
You can follow me on social media. You go to benreinberg.com. I'm on all the platforms.
Love it. Ben, this is, I say this occasionally, but this is one I'm definitely going to listen to myself. I'll be honest, I don't listen to every one of my episodes. This is definitely one I'm going to replay at least once, probably more than once, and probably do some reflecting like you referred to. This has been fantastic. And I know you just talked about the importance or the value of time, and we appreciate your time. So thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Jamie. Really
Yeah.
appreciate it.
Absolutely. And to the listener, thank you for your most spending your most valuable resource with us. Like Ben Reinberg said, that is your time. Thanks, everyone. Take care.
Thank you for joining us on From Adversity to Abundance. We hope today's episode has equipped you with valuable insights and practical advice to elevate your real estate journey. For more inspiring stories and resources, visit us at www.adversitytoabundance.com. If this episode has inspired you, please share it with a friend who could also benefit from our conversation. Together, let's turn adversity into abundance. Until next time, keep building your mental fitness and your real estate empire.
Are you ready to transform your financial future through mortgage note investing? Hi, I'm Jamie Bateman, host of the From Adversity to Abundance podcast. As a passionate entrepreneur myself and real estate investor myself, I've dedicated my career to empowering investors like you. Join my mentorship program tailored to meet your unique business objectives with a very small financial commitment to get started. Gain access to my personal experience, trusted consultants and vendors, and receive customized mentoring services. You'll get hands-on guidance on everything from determining your buy box and reviewing your bidding processes to managing notes with third-party servicers, handling collateral, and much more. Don't wait. Visit LabradorLending.com to start your journey to abundance today. Let's unlock your full potential together.